Are you looking for a new math curriculum? CTC Math specializes in providing online video tutorials that take a multi-sensory approach to learning. Creative graphics and animation, synchronized with the friendly voice of internationally acclaimed teacher Pat Murray, make learning math easy and effective. Favorably reviewed in Kathy Duffy's 102 Top Picks and the Old Schoolhouse Crew Review, the lessons are short and concise to help your child break down concepts and appreciate math in a whole new way. Visit ctcmath.com today to start your free trial. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to part two of my discussion with Israel Wayne. We are having a good time talking about all things homeschool and getting started. If you missed Monday's episode, go back and listen to part one because that part is so excellent. He is just a wealth of information and wisdom. So Israel, thank you for coming back and joining me again today for part
two.
Absolutely. Yeah, so much
fun.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
I love talking to you about parenting and family and all things education. You have been in this world of homeschooling for a really long time, and you really are just a wealth of not just wisdom, but of resources and knowledge. And so we never run out of things to talk about. I know Garrett enjoys talking with you as well. And so I appreciate all that you do. In part one, we were talking about getting started with homeschooling and why homeschooling matters. And we talked a little bit about public schools and private schools and kind of the difference between those and why it's important for us as parents to disciple the hearts of our children, and that we as parents, it is our responsibility. It is not the responsibility of a school or the government or anyone else for that matter. God has placed our children under our authority, and it is our responsibility to educate them, to disciple them, to raise them up and point them towards Jesus. Because I don't remember who I heard this from for the first time. I mean, it was many years ago, but as I heard when my oldest was a baby, I think, is that we're not raising children, we are raising adults. And mm-hmm. And that's very true. We're raising adults, we're raising these kids to be all that God has created them to be. So in your book, I think you mentioned this one in part one. You have a book called Education, Does God Have an Opinion? And in the appendix on that one, you have a section called A Christian Education Manifesto. I would love for you to kind of jump into that and talk about what that is.
Sure. Well, you know, I've often had people say to me that God doesn't have an opinion on education. God doesn't care how we educate our children. There's no one size fits all. What works for you may not work for me. There's public school, private school, charter school, online school, homeschool. And people often say, you know, you can't say that that God has one prescribed approach that's the right fit for everybody. That sounds really good until you actually study the scripture on it. And my book, Education, Does God Have an Opinion? This book came out of a conversation that I had with my mother when I was a young teenager. And I made that statement. I said, I don't know whether I'll homeschool my children or not. I guess I'll just have to find out, you know, what my wife wants to do. And I kind of liked being homeschooled myself. There were definite perks to it. I liked not having to get up till 9 o'clock in the morning and do school in my pajamas and not have to stand outside when it was cold and wait for the school bus. And, you know, there were perks. There were things I thought were pretty good about homeschooling. But as a young teen, I'd never really done a scriptural study on it. And my mom encouraged me. She said, I would like you to write an essay and defend that viewpoint that God doesn't care about education, doesn't matter how you educate your children, defend that viewpoint, but defend it from the Bible, you know, not just your opinion, but find scripture that actually supports your view that any form of schooling is equal and valid. And so I thought, well, this shouldn't take too long. And so I thought I'd, you know, be able to whip something together in a couple of hours. And I started studying that topic, and boy, 30 years later, I'm still studying the topic, but wow. I found I was definitively wrong, that God was not silent on education, that God wrote voluminously on the issue of education, and that the scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, is absolutely full of statements of how God wants his children to be educated. He's not silent on the issue. He has spoken. And so that appendix is mostly just scripture verses. This whole book has a lot of scripture in it all the way through it. But that appendix in the back is kind of a compilation where I just took a bunch of passages of scripture and applied it. One thing I'll say about it is that when you see a universal principle that applies to everything, that universal principle that applies to everything that it applies to. And everything that it applies to is everything. And so if you're talking about everything, then you're also talking about education, because education is a subset of everything. And so when you see something that God says that's universally true for everything, then you have to say God has made this statement about education as well. So just when you look through some of these passages, like, let me just grab a few of them, where, you know, we sometimes don't think about some of these passages as applying to education in particular, but, or to schooling, but like take Psalm 1, for example. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Let's just stop there. Mm-hmm. What kind of counsel are your children getting in the school that they're in? Is it godly counsel or is it ungodly counsel? Is it wicked counsel? Is it teaching them the truth about their origins, or is it lying to them about who made them and where they came from? Is it teaching that God created everything in 6 days, or is it teaching them that they're the result of a cosmic accident 4 billion years ago? Mm-hmm. Is it teaching them that God made them male and female? Or is it teaching them that gender is a fluid concept? Is it teaching them that there are moral absolutes and that there is right and wrong that's truly objective for all people in all places and all times? Or is it teaching them relativism, that truth is in the eye of the beholder and what might be true for you is not true for me? We can decide our own truth. We can make our own path. What is it teaching them about even sex before marriage and so many of these things? Well, what is the school teaching them? Is it godly counsel or is it ungodly? Well, this tells us we're supposed to avoid the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners. What's the social environment of the school like? Is it a godly social environment? We're told in Proverbs 13:20 that he who walks with wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. What's the social environment like? Or in 1 Corinthians 15:33, we're told, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. Mm-hmm. So what kind of social environment are your children being exposed to? So many times people bring up the socialization question. Aren't you concerned about socialization? Well, yes. Why we're homeschooling. We don't want our children to be in the way of sinners. We want them. Now you're saying, oh, so you're saying that you want to isolate your children and never allow them to spend time with anyone who's not a Christian? Well, I talked about this in the first podcast, and those that didn't listen to it should go back and listen to it. But the number one factor in influence in someone's life is time. Mm-hmm. And if you let your children spend significant time around other children, those children will influence your child. That's it will right. just happen. If you let them spend time around anybody, sure. a TV, a video game console, an iPod, they're going to be influenced by what they spend the most time around. And so the question is, who do you want to be that influence, their peer group or you as a parent? If you spend time around wise people, you become wise, but around foolish people, you will be destroyed. Well, what are foolish people? Well, in Proverbs 22:15, it says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Mm-hmm. That's one biblical definition of a fool. The other biblical definition of a fool that comes to mind is where the scripture says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So what do we do as Christian parents? We think, I want my child to be well-rounded and I want them to be successful in life. So I'm going to put them in a classroom with 30 to 40 children. The Bible says has foolishness bound up in their heart, and have an atheist teacher who says there is no God. And if they're not in that environment with this atheist teacher that the Bible calls a fool, and these students that God calls foolish, if they're not just immersed in this pool of foolishness, they won't be able to grow up and be socially well-adjusted. Well, where did we get that idea? We didn't get that idea from Scripture. Scripture doesn't support that idea. Scripture never tells you, make sure you socialize your children with lots of other children.
Yeah.
I challenge you, parents, get your Bible get a concordance, look it up, do a passage search on this.
Do a 30-year essay.
Do your essay. Find from scripture where it tells you, make sure your children spend lots of time around other children so they can be socially well-rounded.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that. In fact, it says the opposite. It says, make sure they spend a lot of time around wise people. Well, who are wise people? Wise people tend to be older. Mm-hmm. They tend to have the fear of the Lord. And then it talks about not having them in the seat, sitting in the seat of the scoffer. Well, what's the social environment again? Is it one that mocks and scoffs at authority? Is it one that undermines parental authority? Well, if that's the social environment, they shouldn't be in that environment. Yeah. But then it says, so what's the antidote? You know, someone. But instead of all that, his delight should be in the law of the Lord, and on his law, God's law, he should meditate day and night. How can you meditate day and night when God's law is not even allowed in a government school?
That's right.
And so we violate the thing that it tells us to do, create an educational context where you can meditate day and night on the law of the Lord. We violate that. We violate all the things that it tells us not to do. And then we somehow expect that it's all going to turn out okay. Mm-hmm. That's just one passage of scripture where the Bible has spoken really clearly to the issue of education, but people don't think about it as an education passage because it doesn't use the word school.
Right.
And so that's what I do in this book, Education Does God Have an Opinion, is I just go through dozens and dozens and dozens of passages just like that. Mm-hmm. And when you really are honest about it and you study what the scripture says, it's forceful that children need an explicitly, exclusively Christian education.
Yep, that's right. I couldn't agree more. So take us back just for a minute. Actually, let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, I want to kind of go back to John Dewey, Horace Mann, and how their influence has infiltrated into the public school system and what we're seeing today. So let's break. We'll be back in a second. The 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo is almost here. From February 17th through the 21st, the Schoolhouse Rocked team is gathering your favorite speakers in one place and hosting a one-of-a-kind live and interactive online event called the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. This will be a full week of encouragement, resources, and community, as we'll be addressing the most important issues that homeschool families face. You'll have the opportunity to interact live with our phenomenal lineup of speakers and have a chance to win valuable prizes. The price for this live and interactive online event is only $20, which also gives you lifetime access so that you can enjoy it whenever you want. Register today at homegrowngeneration.com. That's homegrowngeneration.com.
Hey guys, this is Brooklyn Hampton. Have you left a review for the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast yet? If you haven't, then pause the show right now and go do it. Don't worry, I'll wait. Have you done it yet? Great. Then back to the show.
We are back with Israel, and we were talking before about just the influence of public school and the responsibility of parents. And we're talking about what, Israel, you were actually just expositing through Psalm 1. That is such an excellent passage of scripture, one that our family has memorized and we discuss often. And when you really do pull it apart, I mean, it talks about walking with the wise and what it means to really teach that to our children. So really quickly, because I don't want the rest of this to be about this, but in a few minutes, can you take us back a little bit to John Dewey, Horace Mann, those guys who really have kind of influenced what public school is today, because they had an agenda. And talk about that a little bit.
Most people, for some reason, believe that public schools in America were started by Christians, that they were Christian, that basically they promoted Christian principles, Christian values, up until about maybe the late 1960s when they started to lose their way a little bit. And today they're not ideal. That's kind of where most Christians are on it. But most Christians have never really studied the history of government schools. Mm-hmm. And so if you go back and you study the Prussian school system, which is the one that our American system was founded on, you find that there was an intentional design on the part of atheist God haters to get children away from their parents so that they can indoctrinate them in an anti-Christian worldview. Mm-hmm. And Horace Mann, who was in Massachusetts, he was a Unitarian God hater. He started the compulsory attendance movement in Massachusetts in the 1850s. And by the year 1900, basically every state in the United States had adopted compulsory attendance laws where you had to attend these government schools. And Dewey's role was to make sure that there were virtually no options for parents, that they had to have their children in a government tax-funded school. And whatever the government funds, it controls. And so Dewey started out with some basic Bible reading and prayers being allowed within the classroom, but his goal was over time to slowly remove all of that and just create a kind of secular utopia where everyone would come together under the banner of moral goodness, because as a Unitarian, he didn't believe in a personal God. He denied the doctrine of the Trinity. He wanted to see, he believed that all people were good, morally good, and that they would all come together and create a utopian society if you just get religion out of the picture. Wow. And John Dewey, who was a teacher of teachers in the 1930s, he really revolutionized the schools, particularly in the 30s. He had gone to Russia. Vladimir Lenin's wife had invited him there. He met Joseph Stalin's wife, who was a big fan of his, and you know, they wanted him to come. He's the most famous teacher in America, the founder of the NEA, and they said, we want you to come here and teach us everything you know about pedagogy, about teaching method, and we want to teach you how to teach economic socialism in the classroom. And so in the 1930s, they changed the textbooks, where they pulled out three subjects that had been taught separately, history, civics, and geography, and replaced those with a Marxist curriculum called social studies that had never been taught before. And from the 1930s on, there was a strong socialist push within the government school system. I talk about some of this in this book, Answers for Homeschooling, top 25 questions critics ask. This is my latest homeschooling book. And a little bit also in this book, Education, Does God Have an Opinion? And so for people that don't know the history of the government school system, you just need to do your homework. And there's other great books out there by Samuel Blumenfeld and John Taylor Gatto. Mm-hmm. Those two guys were two of the best education historians. They both passed on now, but great resources.
Yeah.
And the indoctrination film. Indoctrination, Decline of Christianity, yeah, in America. Those are all must reads.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's a great film. We watched that early in our homeschooling career, and it really had a great impact on our lives. And you were part of that documentary, yeah, as well, just like you're a part of Schoolhouse Rocked. So
we're looking forward to that.
Yeah. Oh gosh, us too. Yeah. Us too. So. All right. In the last few minutes that we have, I want to talk about just some practical things for parents, because we're kind of talking about the getting started. And this interview with you, we're kind of talking about the why. Like, why homeschool? Why does it even matter that we don't have our kids in school? Isn't education just education? Isn't it all academics? Aren't they all teaching kids, you know, math, you know, yeah, writing, this and that? And you and I have talked about this before. As a matter of fact, I think we talked about this on the last podcast, but for those who maybe are new to listening to this podcast, the reason that Garrett and I have been so convicted about educating our kids at home and why it's so different in teaching them from a biblical worldview is because not everything, I've got a notice popping up on my thing here. Everything that we teach our kids should point them to Christ. Math can point them to Christ because God is a God of order. He is a God of absolutes. And so when we see math laid out and we understand how all these numbers and formulas work together, we understand the awesomeness of God. When we study science, we understand God as our creator. When we study history from a biblical worldview, we understand God's plan for mankind and so on. And so when we take God out of those things, which is precisely what the government schools have done, then we're really doing a disservice to our children and to their hearts, really, because math is not just math. Science is not just science. History is not just history. And so I really appreciate your take on that. So now that we've talked about all that, I want to talk about just the practical part of getting started with homeschooling. What does a parent do? You know, if they've got their child in school, especially in a public school, a private school, they're not going to really question it. But maybe they've got their child in a public school, especially if it's in the middle of the year, and they're just feeling like the Lord is calling them to homeschool. how do they go about doing that? How do we just say, okay, we're going to pull our kids out of school now? And golly, with all that's happening right now in the public school system and all of the parental rights that are being taken away, we're seeing parents pulling their kids out left and right. So yes. Can you talk to that parent and offer some encouragement to them?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing is, again, this book, Answers for Homeschooling, the Top 25 Questions Critics Ask. I literally answer almost every question you can imagine about homeschooling. Mm-hmm. How to get started, how to choose a curriculum, is it legal? What about socialization? Shouldn't I have my kids in school to be salt and light? What about different learning styles, different learning teaching methods? I cover all that in this book, Answers for Homeschooling. So you definitely want to get that book because Mike Smith of HSLDA said something like, this is the Walmart and Costco of homeschool books. Mm-hmm. Like it's everything you need to know about homeschooling in one source.
I agree.
But I would recommend, mentioning Mike Smith, that you become a member of HSLDA. Go to their website, hslda.org, because they will provide support for you. Make sure that you're protected legally. They have a host of information on their website. You can get connected to state organizations. Mm-hmm. You should always be connected with the Christian State Homeschooling Association in your state. Mm-hmm. There's a list of those on the HSLDA website. Also, there's a website called homeschoolfreedom.com. Mm-hmm. And there are state organizations that are mentioned there as well.
Yeah, we actually have a link to that on the Schoolhouse Rocked website. If you go to schoolhouserocked.com, right on the front page, there's a button that says homeschooling in your state. That will take you straight to Homeschool Freedom.
And then from those state associations, when you finally find your state association, almost all the state associations have a homeschool conference. The larger states do, at least.
Yep.
You will want to attend a homeschool conference in your state. They have wonderful teaching, lots of great speakers, workshops on almost every possible topic, vendors that take curriculum. You can go and look at the curriculum and see what's available and ask questions. There are homeschool experts there. There's community. And from those state associations, you can get plugged into local homeschool support groups, local co-ops in your area, so that you're not just homeschooling in isolation, but you can homeschool with a community around you. I would also recommend going to nheri.org. National Home Education Research Institute, so nheri.org. They are a research group with Dr. Brian Ray. They have all kinds of statistics. I have a lot of that in the Answers for Homeschooling book because you're going to have skeptics, right? You're going to have in-laws. You're going to have people say, well, is this a good choice? And how are your children going to turn out academically? I've consolidated a lot of the highlights into that book. But there may be specific questions that people ask you, and Dr. Ray has done fabulous research on all that. So having facts is really important because you're going to meet people who have opinions.
Yeah.
And you're going to need to be able to trump their opinions with fact.
Yeah.
And so that's part of what I'm doing with the Answers book, is trying to give you fact to refute the opinion. But definitely member of HSLDA, become a member of your state homeschool association, plugged into a local support group, and check out Answers for Homeschooling. I think it's a great way to get going. And then there are lots of Facebook discussion groups.
Which some can be a little dangerous.
A little bit dangerous. Again, a lot of the state homeschool associations now are starting their own. Mm-hmm. And those have some guidance from people that actually know what they're talking about. So if you find your state association, ask them if they have a discussion group, because they'll kind of make sure that things don't derail. It's amazing how many people are maybe not factual, but boy, they have strongly held views.
Right. You know,
I'm in Michigan, and we had somebody recently said, hey, I'm new to homeschooling. I'm just looking into this. How do I get started? What are the laws about homeschooling in Michigan? And somebody said, oh, there are no laws on homeschooling in Michigan. And I'm on the vice president of our state homeschool association. And so I had to get on there and say, well, actually there are. Right. And you know what they are, because it's really relevant to your life. And so it's just amazing how people are really free to share what they think they know. But you really do want to find people that know what they're talking about. And the state homeschool associations are a great place to do that.
Yeah, they really are. We love state organizations and HSLDA both, because you all have worked so beautifully together. HSLDA, Homeschool Legal Defense Association. This is not a commercial for them. They're not paying us to say this. This is just something that we strongly believe in. But HSLDA and the state organization organizations are two groups of people that really work hand in hand together in order to keep, they've worked to make homeschooling legal because it has not always been legal. Yes. They've worked to keep homeschooling legal, and then they work to really provide the resources and encouragement that families need in their own individual states. And like you said, knowing what the laws are, knowing what their rights are as parents. And so, you know, like I said, on our website, we've got the link to homeschooling in your state. And people can go straight there. They can look at their own state organization, contact them directly and say, hey, what do I need to do? HSLDA is the same way. They've got tons of consultants that will actually walk you through what you need to do for your state. HSLDA has representatives for every state, and they will help you figure out what you need to do to legally homeschool in your state, because every state is different.
Yes.
Literally every state is different. We homeschooled in California, and I was just talking to someone today, and I was saying, you know, ironically, homeschooling in California is one of the easiest things to do. I mean, it will not always be this way. I'm 100% certain with the direction that California is going. That's a different topic. But homeschooling is very easy in California. You don't really have to do a whole lot of anything. You have to keep attendance and file an affidavit. But other than that, it's much easier than some states that require a lot of, they have all kinds of rules and laws. So anyway, but yes, that's a great thing. In your book, we have it, and it's fantastic. I want to talk really quickly. Man, we are running so... we're just going to go over on this, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm trying so hard to keep these podcasts short, but there's so much good information here. Really quickly, I want to talk about the last thing, and we've touched on this already in this conversation, but what really matters when parents are thinking of homeschooling, or they're thinking about continuing to homeschool? Is it curriculum that matters? Is it keeping the perfect schedule? Is it keeping our house clean? Is it, what is it that really matters? What is the heart of homeschooling our kids? And we talked about relationships, of course, but I would love for you to talk about this as a homeschool dad. And from the perspective of a dad, how have you gone about discipling the hearts of your children? Because obviously discipleship is really what matters. It's not curriculum. It's not the perfect pretty schedule. It's pointing our kids towards Christ. And so can you very quickly talk to moms, and especially to dads right now, and talk to them about, as a dad, what really matters and how do you disciple your kids?
You know, I a lot of times think of children in our home as sort of the thermometer of the spiritual and relational temperature of our family. And when we see all kinds of bad attitudes and relational conflicts and stress and strife and lack of respect and all of that, we don't like that, right? We look at it and go, wow, it's frigid in here emotionally, relationally, spiritually. We don't like the temperature. But what we don't think about sometimes is that we, as the parents, we're the thermostat. Mm-hmm. And if we want to see the temperature in our house, our relationships change, we change that by changing us. I get letters from people all day, every day, asking me, how can I change my child? How can I change my child? How can I change my child? Well, the bad news is that the way that God has orchestrated things, usually the path to our child's heart is through our heart. Mm-hmm. We see this in Deuteronomy in chapter 6, where it says, this law which I give you this day shall be on your heart, and then you teach it diligently to your children. Mm-hmm. So God wants our heart first. And as dads in particular, I think even more than moms, we're the thermostat for the family. Man, I notice if I come home grumpy and I have brought work home and stress home, and I've allowed my day to impact my mood, and I bring that into my home and I externalize that on my wife, what happens to my wife? She gets grumpy. And it's easy to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I can't take it out on my boss. I work for myself. But, you know, we've all had those scenarios where, you know, there's certain scenarios you just can't externalize how you really feel there.
Yeah.
And so there's certain contexts I can't take it out. So if I bring that home and I'm just negative and I externalize that on my wife, what happens? She feels that stress. Mm-hmm. She gets negative. And then who does she externalize it to? She externalizes it to the children.
Yeah.
And then who do they externalize it? Well, the younger children, or to each other. And then what do? We tell them, stop acting like that, or you get disciplined. Well, right. Well, who did that? We did it, right? We set the temperature. We set the tone. And so in terms of the big picture, what we're going for is we're really going for God to conquer all of our hearts. Mm-hmm. And being home in an environment where we're together, we're working together for a common goal, a common purpose, we're a team. We learn things in that process of teamwork of, you know, you have to have leaders, you have to have followers, just like any team. But we learn things in that process that make us more like Christ, that cause us to press through the difficult things into the deeper relationships. And if we avoid that, if we just avoid each other, yeah, we're avoiding conflict, but we're also avoiding relationship. And so I just think that the God created this concept called family. And in America, we've done everything that we can to get away from it.
Yeah.
We just try to avoid each other because
right.
we think that that'll lessen conflict. And it does. It lessens conflict, but it also ruins relationship. And yeah. so I really believe that God is a relational God. He wants us to know him. He wants us to be in relationship with him. But he also wants us to enter into and take the risk of relationship with each other. When the family works, homeschooling works. When the mm-hmm. family's not working, homeschooling's chaos.
Yeah.
So you can change curriculum. You can find a better math program. You can fix the academics. That's not hard. That, mm-hmm. that's really, really doable. The relationships are where you have to focus. And if the relationships are in order and everything's working, you're going to find the homeschooling process goes relatively easy. It's not easy, but right. relatively easy if the family's working. But man, when you got people that hate each other and they're at each other's throats,
yeah.
it's grueling. So you got to fix yeah. that. And that's why our ministry is called Family Renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And we would encourage you to visit our website at familyrenewal.org because that's what we're about. We're about family discipleship
right.
and about those relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. You've got a great ministry and you will be speaking. We mentioned this in part one. You're going to be speaking for the Homegrown Generation Family Expo that's coming up February 17th through the 21st. And you're going to be speaking specifically on this topic of family relationships. The day, Wednesday, the 19th that you'll be speaking, that whole day is going to be about family relationships. We're opening it up that day with Kirk Cameron, and he's going to be talking about marriage. It's going to be followed by Ginger Hubbard talking about discipling the heart of your child, or reaching the heart of your child, I think is actually the title of her session. And then Dorinda Wilson is going to be talking about sibling relationships, and you're going to kind of tie it all together that day, as well as on the panel. We've got a panel at the end of that day with all three of you, just to answer some questions from those who will be part of the event. So if you guys have not yet signed up for the Homegrown Generation Family Expo, please do so. It's only $20. You get the live event. It'll be streamed live through Facebook and through the Homegrown Generation website. And then you'll have lifetime access to be able to watch any of the sessions that you would like to watch at any time, and lots of free stuff. So we've got free virtual swag bags and lots of contest giveaways and things like that. So it's going to be a really fun event, but we are really excited to have you as part of that, and really just encouraged by your message, Israel, and the ministry that God has put on your heart. And so we are excited to bring you back into the expo to talk more about that with people, and then be able to interact with the people who are watching live.
So yeah,
it's going to be a lot of fun. So homegrowngeneration.com, you can register on there. Israel, thank you again for your time. Thank you for your wisdom and just for all you do for the homeschool community and for families. You are a huge blessing.
Oh, well, we appreciate you guys, and we're excited about your ministry, and we look forward to the conference. So again, everybody, make sure you register and join the fun.
Yep. Thank you so much. All right. You guys have a fantastic day, and we will see you back here next week.